Yesterday I gave every board member this flyer that says save KPFA at Pacifica. And if I have more, if anybody didn't get it, I'll give you more. I have some extras. And I have my phone number on there, and anybody that will give me their email or a regular address, I will give you additional information about what I'm about to say. There is a group of people who are trying to steal KPFA and Pacifica. And their one issue is Lou Hill's message of free speech and democracy. They don't believe in it, although they say they do. And there are the people who are doing this on KPFA's board of directors have identified themselves conveniently. And there are two of them on this board, although I want to say that we're talking about bullies who don't believe in democracy. And bullies have... sometimes they're aggressive bullies, and sometimes they're just cowards who follow bullies to get their power. And you have two of those on the board. And there you can easily identify, or you can't easily identify them, because they're going to be pretty quiet until there's a vote on the board to trash Lou Hill's values. Then they'll be for it. If there's a vote to protect Lou Hill's values, they'll be against it. So that's one way you can tell. But there are others, at least one I know of, who is part of this group. There are two examples I want to give you. One is Steve Seltzer talked yesterday. And if you'll notice, he was very angry, and I don't think anybody in this room understood what he was angry about, but he was just rehearsing the tactic of bullies to frighten and intimidate people to make them follow them. So, and he even showed up at the board meeting in LSB with a group of people to intimidate the board and the director to start a labor coalition, which was made up of people who don't listen to KPFA.
Thank you so much.
Bill Manzo, thank you very much for this. I appreciate it.
Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm back as well. I did not speak at yesterday's time for public comment because nothing had been done about the issue I raised at the last national board meeting in Berkeley, although my remarks had won repeated standing ovations. However, a couple of things happened yesterday that caused me to speak now. First, someone told me that Bob Fass of WBAI wanted to meet me, so I introduced myself at the end of the meeting, and he said very generous words. Secondly, the last speaker in the discussion, referring to people whose programs were dropped during the period the hijackers ran Pacifica, singled out my name for mention. Third, I just found on my seat Phelps' leaflet written essentially around my case. So I realized that I'm still in people's minds despite having been off the air for 10 years and decided to speak today. I had been on for 37 years, unpaid, including about 20 each on WBAI and KPFK. At both of which I was on and off like a yo-yo for terrible things like criticizing Israel's treatment of Palestinians. The reason I'm speaking is that although I am back on the air again starting last week, I continue to be treated in discriminatory fashion. I was dropped in 1995 specifically for refusing to recognize the gag rule forbidding mention of internal station matters on the air. I had been dropped from the morning show for speaking in favor of affirmative action, which the Clinton administration wanted no mention of. And when a listener of my own evening show asked why I had disappeared without explanation, I said why, and that show was canceled, quote, effective immediately, close quote. Sometime later, Larry Benskin and Robbie Osmond were both dropped for violating the gag rule. But because the hijackers were licked very shortly afterward, they were returned to their previous times and shows and length of each program.
Time.
In my case, I'm going to ask you for another 30 seconds on the grounds of 27 years of unpaid, 37 years of unpaid work for this station. In my case, not only did it take 10 years... and a picket line of 30 in April outside KPFA last month to get me back, but I now appear only once in 2 weeks for half an hour. People do not remember the day and time of shows appearing less often than once a week. so I cannot build an audience.
Time.
The discrimination continues, and
that
I have begun. What I have to say is the last two sentences. This is written specifically to try to make it within time.
So
I cannot build an audience. The discrimination continues, and that I have been given 14 semi-monthly shows, after which I'm out. I want equality of treatment with Bensky and Osman, which in my case would mean restoring me to a weekly show of 30 minutes, easily provided by removing that much time per week, as we now have music shows 2 hours in length.
Has everyone signed up?
No, it wasn't. Who else is on the list?
Larry Buckhalter and Jane Jackson.
Larry Buckhalter?
Yes, I'm coming.
And is everyone signed up?
Yes.
William, can you fix the mic first?
Sure, I will.
Thanks.
Hello, everyone should have a copy of this in their packet. I sent it out. My name is Larry Buckhalter. I am a graduate of the First Voice Apprenticeship Program at KPFA for the year 2001-2002. I am also an unpaid staff member and a wheelchair user who has a congenital disability called cerebral palsy. And I've had major problems accessing both equipment and meetings during my internship, and have therefore not been participating in postgraduate activities. Those in authority before Roy Campanella Jr. started his tenure told us that they have conducted a walkthrough with an ADA consultant, the results of which have never been forthcoming. In order to be compliant with Corporation for Public Broadcasting, including the state of California and other relevant entities, we must have a network-wide survey of all facilities by one knowledgeable to stand the test of court. I'm going to skip down here. Braille has only been seen in the elevator, which comes that way. We've had and have now blind programmers and news anchors working at KPFA, one of which is reading the news as he does now, requested to give input while we were still over Edie's ice cream parlor prior to the construction of the current site. This is an incomplete list. There's a lot more. Please do not use Mitch Jesrich, newsman extraordinaire, or his undersized wheelchair as an example in any of the above or further compliance questions. Just because we can do something doesn't make it legal or doable by someone else. My friend Jane Jackson, a charter listener of KPFA and Pacifica, has attended IPMB, PNB, and served a year. You will see at the end of the letter a partial comment from the CPB.org website. It's on the second page.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'd like to to give these to the secretary. Who is the secretary?
Right here.
Right here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you.
And a wonderful secretary. Thank you very much. Thank you. Take the mic to Jane.
I think Jane's going to come to me. I know Jane.
Larry, did you want me to have?
But I think that Jane will come to me if I know Jane.
I think I do. Hi, Jane.
Hello, everyone. I apologize. I apologize for not being here last night. Obviously, I have bad lungs, and sadly, after people had come and set up the possibility for me to listen to it on KPFTX, it didn't happen. So I am here. All I have to say is this facility is not compliant. Our concerns have been ignored. I just heard comments on the Committee of Inclusion. And you know, I'd have no problem with the Committee of Inclusion if every member of it was a member of some other protected community, be they gays and lesbians, people of color, people with disabilities. But ignoring people with disabilities at the same time that some of us are trying to stop yet another dirty war, while the government is reducing not only our benefits, but the benefits of those that we are hopefully supporting. I hope we wake up before we have to go to court. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Paloma Maragon and Chandra Halpern.
No, Paloma's first.
I'd just like to indicate that Jane Jackson and Larry Buchholder are two of the co-sponsors of the resolution that I introduced last night. The views presented in the document that I am going to read are not necessarily the views of the reader, but in the interest of free speech, I was asked to present these statements, and so it will cover the 2 minutes for Paloma and the 2 minutes for myself. Number one, from Paloma Maragon. We all fought hard in 01 to reestablish free speech and due process, as well as transparency and justice at BAI and in the whole of Pacifica. Now all of those values are gone and disappeared at the station due to a regime headed by some of the people we trusted back in 01 that does not recognize any rights other than those of their cronies. I ask that the PNB do the right thing and take necessary measures to bring back Robert Knight, Gary Null, and the values we all fought for. Second statement. Abby Smith, BAI listener. Robert Knight has been a crucial bright light of radio programming on BAI for more than 25 years. His combination of journalistic courage, political insight, humor, and aesthetic sensibilities has set a higher standard to be matched and have been an important asset to the station. We need more of him, not his elimination from the air. Wayne Edwards, BAI listener. Gagging programmers and firing them because they criticize management seems totally hypocritical for BAI. If I can't have free speech on a free speech radio station, then the situation is indeed hopeless. Nora Freeman. I'm very concerned about what's going on at BAI lately. It seems almost like a return of the Christmas coup, what with the gag rule, arbitrary firings of Robert Knight and Gary Null, and reports of physical assault. This is not what we fought for. R. Potasnik. As a supporter and listener of BAI, I am increasingly disgusted by what is going on at the station. The programming appears to have deteriorated to new lows and firings of popular hosts like Gary Null, not to mention major fundraisers. And Robert Knight is deeply disturbing after the major efforts and expense were made to restore the station after the Utrecht lead debacle. It seems there is a similar agenda being played out by a few who wish to exercise their power at the expense of the station and the listeners. I know so many who will not even tune into BAI anymore because of its low level of discourse. I listen to Amy and then go elsewhere to be informed. I urge the National Board to hold the powers that be accountable for what appears to be reckless and irresponsible management before it is too late. Thank you for your consideration. Last comment is from Lorraine Mirza, producer, host, Islamic Perspectives, former newsroom reporter, KPFK. As a former purged and banned programmer at KPFK, I am deeply disturbed about the purges and bans recently taking place at BAI of Robert Knight and Gary Null. Although I am not a fan of Gary Null, I am a supporter of just treatment of all programmers and staff, paid and unpaid at every station. The arbitrary purging of Null then led to the same type of purge of Knight, and what is the purpose of banning except to add insult to injury? Banning is a vindictive practice that should have gone out with the old regime. By purging programmers and the system of prevailing cronyism, BAI has lost the support of its listeners, which translates into failure to conduct successful fund drives. That in itself should be a wake-up call.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Carolyn Burden and Joy Moore.
Anyone else need to sign up for public comment?
Thank you. Is that good? Thank you.
Hello, I know most of you. I graduated a few years ago from, Carolyn Burden is my name, and I'm from WBAI. I graduated a few years ago from being a listener to being a listener member. And I have become, since then, very interested in the move to decorporatize Pacifica. We didn't call it corporatization back then, but that's the move, the coup, that's what it was, really. And as a disclaimer, I just want to say that I've never had or sought a paid job at WBAI. I've never sought airtime. And I am speaking to you only as a member, a listener member at this point, which I consider a very valuable position. I'm going to repeat something that you were told, I think, last year by another member from BAI, Willie Loman's words, that the woods are burning. And I really would like you to pay more attention. We have a new IGM at WBAI, Inder Hardot. She was our business manager for 7 years. She's probably the most trusted person at the station, and with a very good reason. And I'm going to ask you to support her individually and collectively. She needs a great deal of help. We've had a lot of chaos at the station. People who should have been minding the store were either looking the other way or actively hiding evidence or even destroying it and destabilizing the rule of law. So I would like you to support her in every way possible. I think that if you can turn BAI around, Pacifica really has much better chance of surviving than it had before. So I ask you, please, as a group, to do that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Joy Moore and Sam Franco.
I didn't get a chance to pass these out earlier, so I'm doing it now. Thank you for your time and for serving for Pacifica. As a lover of and in support of KPFA and its mission, I have served as a local station board member, a diversity committee member, a bylaw committee member, an unpaid staff council member, phone room volunteer, graduate apprentice, and an avid listener and supporter monetarily of KPFA. Right now, I'm very worried for the future of KPFA and Pacifica. I recently decided to do some research and went back into KPFA's past and origin and history, and I came across the words I quote below. These first words you hear are from Matthew Lazar, talking about Lou Hill and his role as general manager, the first general manager of KPFA FM in Berkeley. Louis Hill was the first general manager of KPFA in Berkeley, which is recognized as the first listener-supported radio station in the United States. Hill had served as a conscientious objector during the Second World War. Every Friday night, usually between 7:30 and 8 p.m., he gave a short on-air talk to 1,000 to 3,000 individuals who subscribed to KPFA in the early 1950s. Hill's report to the listeners of January 4, 1952 remains typical of his approach, a discussion about some technical or financial problem the station faced with an appeal for money interwoven with into the sermon. But on June 21, 1951 at 8 p.m., KPFA's listeners heard a very different side of Hill, who tended to shy away from overly political commentary. These remarks reflected sophistication about the Cold War that was rare in 1951. While most civil liberty-minded observers rallied against the machinations of Joseph McCarthy, few perceived the more insidious transformations taking place around them, especially in the universities. From his perspective at KPFA, Hill was in a position to see and say things others could not. As general manager of KPFA, Hill wanted to awaken in listeners what he once called their solitary responsibility to the well-being of others. We have forgotten that as an organization.
Time.
One more thing. We're failing our mission. KPFA is failing its mission. I urge you please to read this and remember the reason, the whole reason that this project was started was to resist war. We do not resist war in this organization.
Oh, some of us do. Believe me. Sam?
Hello. My name's Sam Frankel. I've been a listener member for about 20 years. I was last night at Cody's. There was a forum Waylon had with some people talking about the impact of institutionalized racism in our society and that Hard Knock Radio is actually under the gun at KPFA. And I'm here to say that for a long-time listener, I have found Hard Knock Radio to be one of the greatest changes at that station in many, many years.
Hear, hear.
And I really, You know, working with large groups of people's heart. I'm a public school teacher, 56-year-old white male, and what I'm going to tell you teaching second grade is that I see the impact of that stuff on my young kids. And that as adults, we've got to figure out how to change this. You know, working for Berkeley Unified, people have seen a lot of stuff in the press recently about how dysfunctional the district is, and working with our union, we've gotten past some of that. My site's got its own problems. We brought in an outside facilitator. You know, if there's some problems that need to be worked out, we've got to do whatever it takes to keep Hard Knock Radio on the air. Period. End.
National. Thank you. Bob Foss and Bob English.
I don't know whether this is even possible, but there are some other people from New York who are on the way who've had trouble in transit. I wonder if there's some kind of a compensation for that they could speak when they arrive. Is that possible?
You can speak tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. And then I yield my time to whoever from BAI wants to take it. No?
Bob English.
Oh, bring back Bill Mandel.
He's already back.
Thank you. Yesterday, when I was here, I started to list some of the damages that have not been undone at KPFA, the things that have been carried forward as part of the status quo, what's accepted as Pacifica Radio at KPFA, but it's really what was carried forward from the old regime and hasn't been changed. One of the problems that we have, not only at KPFA, but at other stations in Pacifica, is a continuing series of incidents of violence and abusive treatment at the stations. Some of us felt that this has gotten to be such an extent from incidents in the last few months there that I'm sure you've heard about, that we felt moved to write a statement of listener members about this. This statement basically calls for the foundation as a whole, management and boards, to act to provide a safe and violence-free, non-hostile working environment for the employees and for the representatives who go to meetings. We listed about six incidents that we were aware of at KPFA and one at BAI during the last year. We didn't put names down because we don't think the names are, for this purpose, important. We wanted to just show that the problem is there, that it exists. And what's in common about these six incidents was that either the public or the victims who have filed complaints in this case do not feel that they've been adequately addressed, or at least they don't know how it's been addressed. We don't know the people involved. We don't know how the cases have been handled, whether there's been corrective action. We do know that at least two of the victims of these complaints have lost their program jobs. Now, we're not just complaining about this. It's become clear that part of the problem is that there's not a structure and resources in Pacifica to handle this kind of thing. So we've listed five things that we think that the boards and the management are responsible for, and I'd like to read. I guess I won't be able to read that. I guess you'll have to. I will see that you all get a copy of the statement.
Gets a copy of it.
And I'd suggest that you also read the lawsuit that's pending, because that deals with the problem and talks about how Pacifica management said, we don't have the resources to deal with complaints of abuse and discrimination in our organization. Therefore, we can't address your complaint, and therefore, we're going to terminate you in this particular case. Whether you believe those allegations or not, it's clear from the complaint that
Thank
Pacifica
so
doesn't even have the resources to deal with the very things that it criticizes in corporate America, not being able to deal with sexual harassment, for instance.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Richard Phelps, Jack Ford.
I guess it's still good morning. How y'all doing? I have a couple things to say. I handed out a case. It's a judgment, actually, on a case very similar to what we will have if things don't change. And I wanted to give this all to you so you could see not what any lawyer you can go out there and pay to tell you, because some of them won't tell you the truth. They'll tell you what they want to tell you so that you'll keep using them. This is a judge talking in here. It's signed by a judge at the end. It's got a file stamp on the front. It's an official judgment. And what it says in there on page 6 is, neither section 6334 nor section 6336A provide for or permit a corporation to impose restrictive conditions on directors' inspections rights and burdensome review when such rights are denied. That's the judge talking. Later on, we've had these issues have been raised over and over and over again about confidential items. Well, after the judgment is granted and she says the whereas is, one of them is she lists on page 9 all the things that the director gets to see. And obviously the non-confidential records are no problem. But C on page 9 says all requested documents that are confidential shall be made available to petitioner. Now, the only condition she put on them is if they want to copy them, you have to negotiate that. But the other ones they can copy. But everything gets to be seen by the director. And, of course, that makes common sense. If somebody's secretary, a manager, ED, can look at it when they're filing it, why can't the director look at it, who has to have supervisory and management overview? So can somebody out there give me a little extra time?
No.
Thank you. The point I'm trying to make here is, and I'd like to go back and read something.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is this the lower court or the...
It's a trial court, summary judgment.
Trial court.
Yes.
Was this appealed?
No.
I noticed there are not any references to case law.
Oh, there are mentions of Havlicek and Gentile's are in there, and she says they don't change anything.
The end, page 9, I was looking for that.
This is not my time while he's talking.
That's my time.
Good. Thank you. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have
That's right.
Do you have a case that the top court in the state has decided on these issues?
That's never gotten to the Supreme Court because they never
it's
had
never
to.
It's never gone beyond.
No, but the appellate courts say the same things. The reason I brought this judgment is it relies on the same appellate court decisions. It talks about the ones
that
are in here.
Yeah, it would have been very helpful if we've gotten the appellate court decision.
Well, no.
Go ahead.
This mentions all the appellate court cases. The reason I brought this up, because all the other appellate court cases don't parallel our facts.
Mm-hmm.
This parallels our facts. This is a director who says, I want to see the records, a nonprofit corporation. What's the first response he gets? Oh, we have to set up some procedures before we can let you do that. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it does. And you know what the judge says? You can't do that. Period. And you can't stop them from seeing confidential records. Now, just let's go back in history a little bit, because most of you were here on April 28th when Marty said these words to you from Mr. Fink's report, Attorney Fink. And they say with regard to members of the National Board, although the Foundation can recommend a procedure and standards for information requests, directors have a legal right to request information apart from those procedures. Staff is not entitled to resist an information request from a director on the grounds that the director failed to follow the preferred requested procedure. You guys were told this in April of 2004.
Right.
You violated it several times since then. Okay? Now, we want to not... It's the fact, man.
No, go ahead.
It's just the fact.
Finish up.
I was there personally when it was violated. I was there personally, as I told you yesterday, when I was refused, when I was an assigned agent of a director.
Mm-hmm.
So it's happened. Now, we have tried, the people I represent, not to run up a lot of legal fees, unlike the lawyers you guys have hired to fight this, who run up a lot of legal fees. And I've had lots of people out there tell me that I should have been pushing this sooner. And some of them are mad at me because we haven't been taking you to court already. Well, we're trying not to do that, but the patience is gone, okay? Now, the excuse about your XED is gone. So next week, we're going to find out. And I just want to tell you that you guys all need to get some other legal research about an issue called waste of corporate assets and breach of fiduciary duty. Because you're all on notice. You've been told this here. You've seen this case here. Directors who waste corporate assets
Time.
Can be individually liable.
Thank you so much. Jack Ford. Jack Ford. Gerald Sanders.
Yeah, Jack Ford
relinquished his time, too. I wasn't sure whether or not you acknowledged my intentions. Is that correct? Thank you.
Gerald Sanders.
With interruption from the board, I might say...
It's hard to imagine what part of Richard's explanation people didn't understand. That's about as, you know, clear as one can make it. But there are other problems here. And this is, I want to talk about the question of dealing and the way the type of regime that we have been relieved of, and I hope will not revisit us, has affected the question of our support. When we started to have our elections publicly, there was a wellspring of support for us at KPFA. People were very happy. Well, the thrill is gone. Nobody comes to LSB meetings. Our public committees are dormant. The majority of the LSB doesn't even try to set up any more committees, do any public work. And what is the result of this? There was recently a major media conference in St. Louis. People from all over the country, including KPFA supporters, without the help of KPFA, went to this conference. Because right now, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has really changed the way it wants to function. They're talking about cutting its budget by $100 million. This is not my opinion. This is fact. Well, you know, if you, I've listened to the DVDs and gone through the stuff. And you know what? Besides Davey D's presentation about clear channel, Pacifica's presence was absent. And the reason it's absent, y'all are living in kind of a little insular world where y'all, you know, go back for, no, don't look at this, don't look at this, don't leave me alone, go away. But the truth of the matter is reality is not going to leave Pacifica or KPFA alone. In fact, we got two suits right now that are pending for just KPFA. I don't know about other. I haven't been able to, you know, find out about all the others. Look, I'm telling you, when I say new beginning, let me spell it out for you. We got to change. It's never too late. Never too late. And now, with all these, all the goodwill is gone. Thank you very much. All the goodwill gone. The objective reality galloping to the right. You're going to be forced to deal with some objective realities. Let's clean it up, y'all. New beginning. Thank you.
I'd just like to make a quick comment.
Stan Woods.
At the National Conference for Media Reform, Pacifica had a table set up right outside the main plenary section. And Ursula and the affiliates program and all the folks in National really did a great job. Just to correct that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stan Woods. Ted Friedman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi.
Stan Woods.
Yes, I'm going to cede my time to Jack Ford. Thank you.
Ted Friedman. Joe Anzawa.
I'd like to say to this group here that I'm a listener supporter of more than 30 years. I'm a 36-year Teamster. I've seen some awful meetings, and this is ranks right up there with most of them. If you ask the public to come, show them the consideration to listen to what they have to say. Don't limit anybody to two meetings. If you honestly care, hear them out. Hear what they have to say. Those are the ones that care most. They're trying to make a contribution, and you're trying to prevent them from making that contribution. We can't move forward if you don't listen to people. Everybody here, I mean, it's embarrassing sitting there watching you carry this out. You ought to call them back up there here and say, brother and sister, what did you intend to communicate to us? Because I didn't get it in 2 minutes. It's a disgrace.
Joe Anzawa.
I just want to endorse Joy Moore's heartfelt appeal that we take a more positive. Oh, I just want to endorse Joy Moore's heartfelt appeal that we take a more positive attitude with each other and work together. Despite our differences, I believe we all want a more effective and democratic Pacifica. We have a lot of real enemies out there trying to destroy free speech. Let's resolve to join together to save our precious network.
Thank you. Sasha, Lily, and Mansoor.
Hi, my name is Sasha Lily. I'm the producer of the KPFA program Against the Grain. I'm here to speak about accountability. I know you've heard a lot about accountability and transparency today. I'm here to speak about the accountability of those of you who are involved in this governance system that was put in place following the terrible events of 1999. A system that was put in place to protect us and to try and foster an environment of creativity for those within the stations of Pacifica. This year, the cost of this governance system is estimated to reach $720,000. This is in the context of a time where there is talk of layoffs at KPFA. If this system was creating something that we were all benefiting from, I would say, well, those costs are justified. But what are we getting for the system? As a staff person, I could tell you that we have received such animosity and hostility from certain members, not all, of our local station board that it has made us very hard to be the creative people that we're supposed to be. Our union has been reviled. Certain colleagues of mine have been accused of money laundering. This is an unacceptable situation. And there's a lot of talk about recruiting younger people, people of color, to this network, to these stations. But when we're being treated like this, in this kind of climate, those are the people who are going to be driven away. You need to think about how to change this profoundly and fundamentally, because what the situation we're in right now is a crisis situation. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. I want to pick up after what she's saying, and I really would like to encourage you to think outside of box. And I spoke a little bit about having a committee of executive directors from East Station last night. I really would like you to think of that. Some opportunity has arisen for Pacifica that we should tap on. One of them is CPB's cutting funds for NPR, PBS. These are the things that we could actually turn it around to our benefit, that we could Pacifica should be able to work with at least NPR with some of our national programming. And Ursula, who's doing the affiliates, and she, I think at least about once a week, she's adding another radio station to the affiliates of Pacifica. So she's doing a great job, and maybe we should listen to her as what she's doing and why other radio stations are coming to Pacifica, or they actually want Pacifica's programming. So what I'd like to encourage you to think about is to think outside of box. Remember, we started having members to be elected by listeners. Nobody else has done that. Maybe we could have a committee of having being executive director, one person from each radio station. The other one is that two meetings ago in Los Angeles, Lonnie, you were there, and we came up with the average age of Pacifica listeners to be 51, and now it has increased by 6 months. So, so if you don't mind me, like if you could give me one more minute, I'll be finished with this thing. So the average age has increased, and older generation, bless their hearts, are here. There's no younger. I'm older generation. There's no younger generation here, and we cannot put our ideas in their heads to be here. I know. If you could give me one more minute, because I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Is that okay?
I'll allow it.
Thank you. Okay, so what I was thinking that we could do about this, that we need to come up, I know you guys are all bogged down with all the stuff that's happening. What we could do, form another committee that will think about the future of Pacifica outside of this body. So they can be free of thinking about executive directors, financial reporting, what's happening at all the stations, but to just think, how we can turn this thing around to like bring the younger generation in, what they need and what they don't need. So it's just sort of a research committee that would provide us with some finance in the future and youth that would sustain Pacifica to be a viable source. Otherwise, we can bury ourselves in about 2 more years, which the average age would be about 53 years old.
Thank you so much. Mary Barg and Linda. Mary? Berg? Is that an E? Okay. And Linda Hersett? Please.
Hi, I'm Mary Berg. I'm an unpaid staff person for a long time at KPFA. I'm on the local board and a bunch of other things. And I want to join my voice with those who have said, come together. When we passed these bylaws, it was an incredible start of an experiment that's never been done. We had the blueprint to make a magnificent edifice in media. We had listener sponsors who were legal members, and there would be this interchange of work, people on committees from the top to the bottom. And what I see instead of this is that we have divided ourselves into little factions, little Balkan states which fight with one another. We are an institution of violence, and we call ourselves peace. People talk with ad hominem attacks.